Well, good morning. It is a holiday, kind of a holiday weekend where we observe, it's supposed to be for the fallen soldiers of our country, those who they put that together way back when, and today it finally, back in the 70s, became a national holiday. So I think it was in 71, but it is Memorial Day weekend. So Memorial Day, we take it off on Mondays to observe and have reverence for those who've fallen in our country, served our country, and those things. But many of us do not know them, but we can pray for them as well, those that are alive and still serving in our country. But there are many families today that, even since 9/11, since many of us have been around since then, have seen the news with a lot of people, that a lot of men and women have passed away. And I go to the VA, that's my hospital, so when I go to the VA, it's definitely in the 90s, it was just basic, guys were going in, there was a lot of guys from Korea, and still are, from World War II, and also from Vietnam and stuff. But when you go in today, you'll see young people, 23, 24 years old, and they're missing one or two legs. There's a lot of that in the VA that if you want to, you don't need to go down and check it out. It's just the way it is. So there's still battles and those wars. We're still in a war. We're still doing things overseas. We're even in Africa now. We know that we've lost some soldiers in Africa. So we need to keep those families in our prayers, and so we need to do that. Also, 2 Timothy tells us that we are also soldiers of Christ. Amen? We are soldiers of Christ. And so today I want to share with you just a list of some of ours that have went on to be with the Lord, and then we're going to pray and thank God for their service here, not only for those in the military, but also those that have served the Lord through New Life Fellowship. So I'm going to go down the list. Hopefully I can get them all in. But Dean Sharp and Peggy Robertson, Louetta Thorne, Justin Panacius, Dallas Clay, Jason Boyce, Missy Baker, Mike Myers, Betty Pather, Cedric Pather, Mike Felton, Andrew Geringer, Kate Abbott, Dolores Myers, Donnie Jones, Michelle Guest, Ruth Early, and Carolyn Parker. That's a lot of people for a church our size and for just as long, a short time we've been together. those are lives that people who have lived their life and served the Lord through this church, and so we are thankful for them and what they've done. But their time now is with the Lord. So I think we can just take a moment here and just thank the Lord on your own for those. Some of them that may be your family member. But in reality, we're all brothers and sisters, so it is our family. So we need to take a moment just to silence here and just thank the Lord for them and not to forget them. And then we'll go ahead and close in this part here in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the service of those men and women who have fallen in battle. We thank you, Lord, for as they fight for our freedom. We thank you for those that have gave all, and we thank you for them. We ask you continue to be with those family members that are still living here, that you would find your way to them through other Christians. And we pray, Father, Lord, that many would receive Christ through their loss, and we pray, Father, for them. We thank you, Lord, for our military, and we do thank you for them. We also thank you today for the list that we've was able to announce here, each name individually for the soldiers of Christ, Lord, that you had served here, the members of this church. We pray, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for them and their families, and we pray, Father, today throughout this weekend that we might not forget those, but remember those. They are pillars in our in New Life Fellowship. And we thank you for their service, and we thank you for their lives, Lord, and we look forward to the promise that we will see them again and become that ultimate one family, one church together. So, Lord, right now, we await that. And we thank you, Lord, for their lives. We thank you for this church. We thank you for your Spirit, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. It's good to remember our people. Amen? All right. So it is good to be in the house today, and so many people take off on this day and use it as a holiday. And I was reading a soldier piece on it, and he said, hey, sunny days and picnics are great. I love them when I can get them, but I also know that we need to remember what Memorial Day is all about. And so don't forget the loved ones, and don't forget our soldiers in that. So today we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. We want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. And knowing that Hebrews, between Revelation and Hebrews might be one of the little more difficult ones for some as you read it. There are some pieces in there that can be a little tough to wrestle with, but it doesn't mean that we don't read it. It means we are supposed to read it, dig into it. And somebody said, how do you read a book and you don't understand it? What would you do with it? I said, here's what you do. You just read that book, just read it from first chapter to the last verse, and you'll pick something up in there that you didn't know. And then through time, you're going to reread it again. You might pick it up in a Bible study. You might learn a little bit more. But as you continue to read your scriptures, you'll come back to that book, and you'll have a little bit more input and knowledge of it. So when you read it a second and third and a 20th time, you'll begin to understand it. So we need to be that today. We need to do that. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to be in this section here this morning, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. There's a few pieces in there we want to talk about. For every high priest taken from men is appointed in service to God for the people, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he is also subject to weaknesses. Because of this, he must make a sin offering for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, the Messiah did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but the one who said to him, you are my son, today I become your father, also said in another passage, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During his early life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Though he was God's son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. After he was perfected, he came to the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and he was declared by God a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, well, before we move on from there, I just want to share a couple of things for you here. As we read this piece, I want to just remind you that a good pastor is always going to pray for his people. A pastor should always pray for his people and always deal with the people gently when he needs to, and he should always have that mercy and with love. And so, but we know this, that this priest is, you know, is used as a priest, but we as pastors, the Bible tells us that we can pray for spiritual gifts. We can earnestly pray for those spiritual gifts that, like, if you want, you know, Lord, I need the gift of discernment, you can pray for that. But the calling of pastoring, priesthood, that is something that God calls. That's not something that we choose or we pick. This is why we see so many men going into the ministry, and we see so many of them, they leave the ministry because they get in and they figure that they just come to this place where they're not called. They are not called men, but there's something that they desired. But a desire does not make you called. It has to be something from the Lord. I want to remind us that we are all flawed people. We are all sinners. Amen? We are all sinners. We are all flawed. But we that have Jesus Christ, we work it out and we continue to try this thing of growing in the Lord. But we see, as we see this piece beginning to move forward, I want to remind you here that Jesus, when he prays, we think sometimes we just see the kind of the picture with folded fingers, hands, whatever, and Jesus is praying and or anybody is praying, and there's not a lot into it. Did you see the piece here in verse 7? It says, during his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears. It was a passionate thing. His whole spirit come through that. When he prayed with some power. He prayed and his emotions even came out. He prayed through tears, and he prayed through with loud cries, and he wrestled, you know. So we need to take a moment there and look at that piece. We see that even in the garden, that it said that his tears became like, his tears became blood, and Jesus was praying there. Jesus would go off many times. You can read through the book of Mark or the Gospels. He'd go off many times by himself when there was a crowd, and he would go off and he would pray. And basically everybody's like, where are you at? And he said, well, let's go. We got to go to the next village. That's why I was came to preach to preach. And so he knew, he didn't lose focus of what he was called to do, and he made sure that prayer was important in his life. And so we see that he just wasn't a person of prayer, but he was a person when he prayed. He was God's son, and he prayed with tears in his eyes. He prayed loudly at times. He saw the brokenness of the world. He saw the brokenness of the world. And as we read that, it goes on and it says here, this is where we're going to camp out for a bit. In verse 11, we have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish good and evil. There is a problem in the church today that we struggle with. Jesus wants us to grow up in the Word. He wants us to grow up in the way that we live. And he wants us, and the writer here is telling us that we should be growing up. He uses the word, in my translation, he uses the word that we don't like to hear, lazy. He uses some other terminology here about being, we don't want to, how would you like it if somebody came up to you and said, you're pretty immature? You're an adult and God, but you're immature. Does that make you put your defenses up? Honestly? You're going to put your defenses up. This is why it was hard for so many people to read these letters when they got them and the seal was on there and they broke them and they read them to the church, these letters, and people got upset. You can go back and read the two letters from Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You'll see that people were upset. You see also they talked about lazy, there was another group that was lazy in Titus. You can go in the first chapter and second chapter of Titus. You'll see that, again, it was talking about a bunch of lazy Christian people. And I'm not pointing a finger at you. We're just still going through this process of growing up in Jesus, but he uses the word lazy and immature and says that we're going back to the basics. You got to go back to the basics again. You shouldn't have to go back to the basics, but you got to go back to the basics again. So there are some people who will not get past that, and they'll always be on the milk. And there's others who, because they just can't get past it. So I want to share a couple of things with you, what the immature Christian really, really looks like. Number one, they waver easily. An immature Christian wavers very easily. Okay? They'll go to the left, they'll go to the right. They'll be on the right, and then they'll go right back to the left. They waver very easily. They're usually unfaithful to church. Okay? They're usually unfaithful in their attendance or anything that goes on in church. Unless it's something fun. Unless it's the fun stuff. They'll be there for the fun stuff. Okay? They're not there for the hard work. Okay? Immature Christians, they know a little bit about the Bible. Very little. They know very little. So what they do is, an immature Christian, they live their life by emotions, and they're emotionally driven, not spiritually driven. Now, to me, if I was you right now, if you take notes, I'd be taking notes. Because this is something that you can go back and reflect on, and you can pray, Lord, am I like this? Lord, do you see me not like this? Because that's a mature piece when you ask the Lord what he thinks, not what you feel. When you say what you feel is an emotional piece, and your emotions will take you down wrong paths. Because emotions have taken people down and have babies out of wedlock. Emotions have taken people to get married when they shouldn't have got married. Emotions will take you out of places and buy something that you know you should. Emotions will make you say things that you shouldn't, then you go back and you regret. Emotions will take you down wrong paths, and the cost many times are very, very high. It's not that emotions are wrong, but when emotions lead you, they will always lead you emotionally. And so we see a piece of, that we see it, that we say, listen, so they know little about the Bible, so they're emotionally driven, and they are confused. They believe that the emotions, when the emotions are speaking to them, they feel it is, a immature Christian says, and they say, an immature Christian says, they get confused that the emotions is the Holy Spirit. Their emotions are speaking to them and they feel like it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And a lot of those are what I think. This is what I thought. This is what I feel. It's always an I thing. Emotions will always say an I thing. Okay? And so we see that piece there. So emotion, they get confused on what the emotion is and what the Holy Spirit is. They don't know the difference. They have a very hard time to distinct what emotion and what the Holy Spirit is. We also see that they aren't very convicted over sin. Sin is not a big deal. When people are, sin is not a big deal to them. It's really not a big deal. It's only a big deal when it's a big sin or it's a sin that's outside. Listen, I got to be careful what I say, but there are some friends, there are some people that I know right now that are struggling. And listen, a sin to one family, okay? If it's a sin, it's a sin. Amen? So I can't turn around and say I can do it and you can't. It's a sin. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay? So just because you had, and here's the thing, emotions will come up and rise up and try to take over. And the dark side uses emotions because emotions just rise so quickly. And so we need to remember, sin is a big deal. Because Jesus came and died upon the cross for our sins. Because we are all sinful. Your feelings are not always what's right. The Holy Spirit will not sit there and confirm your emotions just to make you feel good. Remember what we've been saying? God's Word. When God speaks, He will not contradict His Word. Which means when you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you something, it will not contradict the Holy Spirit. All right? Up here I am. So, emotions are great and God created them, but if they take over, you're in trouble. That's why you're only 14 once, okay? That's why you're only 15 once, okay? And we need to learn to grow up from that. But sometimes we as Christians, we stay in the 14 range. We stay in the 15 emotional range. So we need to remember to control those emotions. Sometimes immature Christians will bounce from church to church to church to church to church because somebody offended me. I don't like the way they do the music. So it's always about what they want. It's always self. Immature Christians it's always pulling back to them. So an immature Christian many times will bounce from one church to the next. And I know a couple that was told that they weren't, they kept visiting one Southern Baptist church after another and after another. And it would always be a wake of issues. And when they finally went to another one, they said, we love you, but you can't come here. Some people say, well, that was really hard. Well, from the wake behind them, we don't want to be number six with division in the church. Pretty wise, don't you think? We'll love you from a distance. Immature Christians become very jealous. They can become very jealous and very envious of things that are going on in the church or with other families and those kind of things. And they can become very big gossipers. And so they do these things because they don't have the godly things going on. They speak without praying. They make decisions without praying. They're usually without respect. Because it is an I thing. An immature is an I thing. Now, we all want to grow up in Jesus. Amen? Is that what we took the pledge and the challenge for in January? We all want to grow up in Jesus. Let me read this once again. He says, although by this time you ought to be teachers. See, there are some of us that ought to be teachers. But he says this, ought to be teachers or doing something that God has called us to do. And there's an open position and maybe you just need to grab it. But he says, He says, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of the of God's revelation again. So there's a struggle with not getting off of the basics. Now, we need to be on the basics from time to time. It's good to go back to the basics, but there's a part that as a mature Christian that we need to start stepping forward and getting off the milk and start chewing on a little bit of meat. And what that looks like sometimes is it doesn't mean you have to have an answer for every verse you read. There are some verses that I still struggle and wrestle over. Does that make a person immature? No. If you wrestle, you need to wrestle through some scripture from time to time. You need to read the challenging books of the Bible. And so you get that, a pastor doesn't have all the answers. There's not one person, I believe, that can sit there and get this completely 100% down. If it were so, then I don't think we would have Catholics and Protestants. We wouldn't have the Church of Christ and we wouldn't have the Baptists, but we do. And we have a whole bunch more. And because we struggle with basic doctrine, we struggle with our theology, we even struggle with our methodology, which is how we do it all. And we struggle with those things because you know what we do? We say, this is why we're flawed. I'm right, I know. You're right, because you know. And so we say, okay, we're gonna agree to disagree, and I'm gonna be this, and I'm gonna be that. And so we struggle with those things. And the writer is saying we need to grow and we need to get off of that milk. But he says, because of that, he says you can't get on solid food, because solid food is for the mature. And so I'm going to look at the mature side of it. Now, I know we are going through a challenge. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to be meeting here next Sunday night. And as we meet here Sunday night, I'm hoping that you are going to be able to speak up. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. You're going to tell the church, and you're going to tell your pastor how you've been growing in Jesus Christ. Because we've not asked God to bring anybody in this church new. Do you remember what it was? The challenge was that we were going to start growing up in Jesus. Dress up. It's called get up, dress up, and show up where you need to be. Go out and do some things different than you usually do, in the sense of being in some different church functions. Stretch yourself. Do something that you don't feel totally comfortable with, but you're trusting God to stretch you a little bit. And we're not going to ask God to bring any new people in it. We're going to work on ourselves. Here's the thing. Many of you won't do that, because we're going to stay back on the milk. But some of you will. And to grow, it takes an effort to grow. So Sunday night, we're going to give you an opportunity to speak in and how you've grown. Again, that's going to be Sunday night, Sunday morning, but Sunday night. We're going to talk about how you grow, how have you grown in the Lord. And I want to talk to you about what it looks like to be a mature Christian. No particular order. Mature Christian, faithful in the worship. You know where to be on Sundays. Amen. We're here today. Amen. We here today? I'm here today. God's word is here today. All right? So I need to make sure that I am in the church house. I am where I need to be. I need to be in the worship, faithful to the church. All right? I need to serve in the church somewhere. Somewhere, every person, you need to find a place where you can serve in the church. It may be a big role, it may be a small role, but it's all serving Jesus. Okay, we all need to do something and serve in the church. Because if you don't, how are you going to mature? You need to mature in the church. You need to mature in the church. Okay? Also, got sidetracked there for a second. Sometimes you get to this point as a mature Christian, you're going to be a little leery and you're going to be a little scared, a little fearful of taking on a new challenge. The mature Christian will pray about it, step into it, and say, you know what, I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do it out of faith, I'm going to do it in courage, I'm going to do it because the church needs it, I probably need it, and most of all, God wants it. And you're going to know that. And that's the mature Christian, knowing that it's more than this. You notice that I didn't say I, except one time, that I need it, but also the church needs it. God wants it. Okay? It's more than just I when it becomes the mature Christian. immature Christian, it's all about me. It's all about I. Me, myself, and I. But when it comes over to the mature Christian, there's a part of that that is there, but it's also, what does God want? What does the church need? And you begin to, it's bigger than yourself. Also, we find out that those, we take those steps of faith when we're kind of a little fearful and scared, but we'll take those steps of faith as the disciples did. They're givers of their time. Mature Christian is a giver of their time. Even when it's tired, even when it's long hours, sometimes they will give their time and they will work. They will give their finances to the work of God. They see their life. They understand and know what being redeemed is. They understand and know that they are sanctified through Jesus Christ, meaning set apart. And you begin to act like you've been set apart, act like you've been redeemed from something. So there's a change in your life, and you become that soldier of Christ, and they see the bigger picture. They see that it's just not about me and my finances, or me and my this, or me and my that, or just me and my kids. It's not about just you and your kids and you and your finances. It's about the Lord. It's about what does He want? What does He desire? Because God can give you that. You understand peace. Immature Christians don't understand peace. They understand emotions. But the mature Christian knows how to work through pain and suffering and joy all at the same time. That's being a mature Christian. Even when your head feels like you just want to put it in a hole like an ostrich, you don't. Because you know that's not good. That's not going to work it out. The mature Christian knows. Now see, God is patient. When God gets you, when you get saved, you know nothing. You stick your thumb in your mouth like a baby, and you begin to be a baby in Jesus, and Jesus sits there and watches you do really dumb things. But he only watches that, and he only wants to say, okay, you've been a baby for 2 or 3 years. Now it's time to grow up and get off of the binky and off the bottle and get your thumb out of your mouth. Now you got to start picking up a few toys. You start helping around just a little bit. You make messes. You clean, but you make a bigger mess than what you're trying to clean up. God's patient with that. Then the little lip starts happening off. About 10, 11 years old, we start lipping off. And what happens? God's still patient, but He knows you're better now than you were when you were a baby. You don't need as much. You don't need as much all that other stuff. And then you become a teenager. You might get a little rebellious. You might start doing some other things. And you find out, you know what? I got to grow up. And all of a sudden, you start stepping into an adulthood. You start stepping into the maturity of Christianity. You still make mistakes, but you're growing. You find out that, hey, you know what? I think I do need a mentor in my life. Hey, I think I do need to make some changes in my life. All of a sudden, God says, you're responsible. You ought to know better. Not taught you different than that. And some people will take it and they'll run with it and they'll get on their knees. And so another part of being a mature Christian is they know how to repent. A mature Christian knows how to repent and knows when to repent. A mature Christian really knows that they understand the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will come upon that Christian, and when they feel it, they know that it is the Holy Spirit, not emotions, but the Holy Spirit. So we see that there's givers of times in their work and their finances. They see the big picture. They know the voice of the Holy Spirit. They know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and it is different. It is different than our emotions. And when they obey the Word of God, even sometimes when we don't want to obey, the mature Christian knows that even though they may not feel like they're doing the right thing, and when they don't feel it, they adjust. And if there's times when they feel uneasy, but they stay faithful to the Word of God, they stay faithful to God, and they work that out. They work through that. So with the mature Christian, there is a repentance heart. You have to have a repentant heart to do that. There is a reverence for God. The immature Christian does not have a reverence for God. They have a reverence for themselves. They have a reverence for their emotions or their feelings. But the mature Christian has a reverence for God. They know when they're in the presence of God. They know when they pray they're going to get in the presence of God. The mature Christian also knows that they fear the God. They fear God. That there's a healthy fearing to be fearful of God. And I think that grows in time. The mature Christian seeks God in all things. You remember when I was telling you about the jealousies and the envies of an immature Christian? Many times that immature Christian is jealous of the blessings that the mature Christian gets for being mature. Does it mean that God loves him more? No, but there is favor. There is blessing when you're doing things. The Bible says you'll be blessed when you do this. You act like you'll be blessed. Blessed are those. We need to have a fear of God that is biblical. And that says, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. I hope today that you have a healthy fear of God. We should not fear, and I believe as mature Christians, we don't fear the future. Immature Christians, they are only in the moment. But the mature Christian understands and knows that there is a second coming, but they don't fear it. The mature Christian embraces the second coming of God. There is a big difference. And you're asking, if I'm saying things on the immature side and you're getting that more than you are the mature side, there's probably some good evidence that it's time to grow up a little bit more. Listen, you don't go from baby to a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old Christian who's been a Christian that long. No, you've got to start somewhere. So wherever you are, you have to just keep moving forward in the direction of maturity. And the biggest thing that for a mature Christian, a Christian that wants to mature, here it is. For the mature Christian, it's they want to grow. A mature Christian has a desire to want to grow in Jesus. The immature Christian does not want to grow in Jesus. They are too consumed about what is going on in the moment. He says, we have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy and to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. That's a good piece. It tells us that there is a difference between the immature Christian and the mature Christian. And I will tell you, I will confess to you, I still need to grow up some in Jesus. How about you? And I know I do. But here's the thing, as a mature Christian, you know you do. Does it mean I've arrived? I'll never arrive here on this earth, but there's a desire to finish the race. And to finish the race as a mature Christian. Not lollygagging and cruising across the finish line, but going over it exhaustively, knowing that you worked hard, you ran your race hard, you ran it, and no one cut in, and when they tried to cut in, you stayed focused on the finish line, being with Jesus in heaven, and you are running your race, and you didn't quit, and you didn't stop. Maybe for a moment, you took a breather. Anybody ever run track before? You notice when you start slowing down, you hear a certain voice, don't you? It's called that coach, right? That coach is going to... And that all of a sudden, when he starts seeing you slack, not giving your all, guess what? There's going to be a talking, and maybe yelling at first. I think God does the same thing. You know, you can fool everybody else, but you can't fool God. And you can turn around, and you can look like you're running, but I'm going to tell you something. If your heart... Listen, there are some immature Christians. They'll do a whole lot, but they do it for the wrong reasons. The heart ain't right. The hands work just as good as everybody else, but the heart ain't right. God just don't want some busy bees. He wants the heart, mind, and soul. That's what he wants. He wants that. And when we understand that, we become mature Christians. Another part of mature Christians, as I close is this, you don't know it all. A mature Christian doesn't know it all. He seeks good godly wisdom, and he also seeks others, but he always finishes it up. With whatever anybody put input in, you just don't take everybody's input. You take a moment, you step back, and you have to pray about those things. You have to seek God's wisdom. It is good to have mentors. It is good to have friends. And iron sharpens iron. Men sharpen, believers sharpen one another. But in the end, we must finish it up by taking a walk as Jesus did away and praying over it, being sensitive and listening to the Holy Spirit. This message today is to prime us for next week. Because if we don't get to the where we think we need to be, we know we're not going to be perfect next week. But if we don't have people to testify, saying that I'm growing up in Jesus, and this is how I've grown up in Jesus, then we're going to have to go through this all over again for another 3 or 4 months, and then we'll have to because there's no sense of asking God to bring people into this church when we can't take care of what we already have. I'm already seeing that, and some of you can testify. It doesn't matter if you got 300 or 400 people in the church. If they're all immature Christians and have no desire to grow, I surely wouldn't want to be a pastor of that church. And I don't think you would probably want to attend that church. It becomes a feel-good, emotional, and we'll see you all next week. But the church that becomes mature understands and knows this, that he said some of you ought to be teachers. What he was saying was some of you ought to have been more mature than you are. And I think some of us, all of us, have a place where we need to grow more, because I believe God wants to send more. But we got to be ready. We have to be ready for that. We have to be ready for what God has for us. So we're going to have a moment here where we have altar calls. It's a little different service today, but I think we needed something like this today. And if you would want to come down, and maybe you want to come down and just thank God for a loved one in your life, or just whatever it is, and give that moment of reverence to God for life, that and whatever that is for you. But also, if you want to grow in Jesus and you're having a hard time with that, maybe you need to pray with that. Maybe you want to pray today that, you know what, I'm growing in Jesus, but Lord, show me where I'm growing. I'm not really seeing it, but I feel like I am. Or, Lord, why do I not want to grow? Give me a desire to grow. Whatever it may be, I want to tell you this. When you pray, and you pray like we're going to do this morning, when you pray, what you're doing is you're doing exactly what this banner, what the verse says in James. You draw closer to him, he'll draw close to you. You draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. I think that's what God wants. Because when we draw closer to him, he reveals things in our life that we need to make adjustments. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you that moment here that we have this morning for you to come down and pray and see and have that moment with God.